Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Listen to me. You're going on the trip now. It's going to be rough.
Hold on!
If you hear something in the woods, you tell me. If you hear something in the water, you tell me. But under no circumstance are you allowed to take off your blindfold.
Did you hear that?
The creatures.
That's an excerpt from the movie Bird Box. You may know the movie because of the internet challenge named after it. People walking about doing ordinary everyday tasks blindfolded. The movie is a dystopian end of the world scenario. We're going to be reviewing it with Pastor Ted Geese on this Thursday afternoon, January the 31st. What's the connection between that challenge and the major plot element, the blindfold, in the movie Bird Box? Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
So first of all, you need to explain the spin-off internet foolishness that is called the Bird Box Challenge that is, in some cases, costing people a trip to the emergency room. What is it, and how is it in any way related to this film?
Okay, so the Bird Box Challenge is kind of this thing that kind of showed up on YouTube, and basically it's people just kind of mimicking things that they saw or trying to attempt things that they saw in the film. So the film Bird Box includes a lot of stuff where people are blindfolded and they have to do certain dangerous things with blindfolds on, physical tasks, right? So people started to post videos of themselves with the blindfolds on doing things. And like you said, some people ended up in the emergency room over these kinds of things. And so much so that Netflix had to tweet out something that said, "Can't believe I have to say this, but please do not hurt yourselves with this Bird Box challenge. We don't know how this started, and we appreciate the love, but boy and girl just have one wish for 2019, and it is that you not end up in the hospital due to memes." So, you know, there's a lot of things in life that are probably challenging enough all by themselves without being blindfolded, like, let's say, driving a car or something like that. And in the film, there's a portion of the film where people are driving a car blindfolded, and like these are the kinds of things that people ended up doing, like driving cars, walking places they shouldn't walk, doing things blindfolded that you need your eyesight to do well.
So that part of the phenomenon is simply another manifestation of the general stupidity of both the Canadian and the American public. We'll just
kind of this is like Tide Pods, yes. Tide Pod Challenge, or things like that. Yeah.
What does the blindfold, what role does it play in, and a central one, obviously, in the plot of this film, Bird Box?
Yeah, this is a Netflix-released film. So when you're scrolling through Netflix, there'll be a little thing right at the beginning that gives you a sense of what the program or the movie is going to be like. And in it, you have Sandra Bullock, who plays this character of Mallory, talking to these two kids. And you don't know the relationship to these two kids at that very moment, but she says, you know, you have to keep your blindfolds on. You can't look. You can't take them off. If you look, you're going to die. So the idea is that if you look at whatever the thing is, there's some sort of Lovecraftian, demonic, evil monster / demon kind of thing. If you look at it, it will cause you to commit suicide. So the film opens with mass suicides all around the world, and the way to avoid suicide is to not look. So then blindfolds become essential. Staying inside, having your windows papered, you know, not looking at all becomes a big part of survival in this kind of apocalyptic end of the world scenario that's cooked up in this story. So in a similar sort of way, we had talked about a movie called A Quiet Place, where, you know, making noise would cause the thing to come get you. In this case, it's looking at the thing will cause you to harm yourself and like kill yourself. That's what you get in this film.
So this is kind of a general principle to understand the genre of this film. You find this in, as you point out, both film and literature. There's an inversion of a commonly, or one might say up until recently, commonly accepted idea that becomes the framework for telling this story. What is this film inverting?
You know, looking at this movie, I would say this film is inverting, or it's presenting a subversion of the second coming of Christ. So this is something Christians would look forward to, the return of Christ, particularly Christians like Lutherans, let's say, who have like an amillennialist view of the end of time, that, you know, we look forward to Christ's return. We don't look at it in fear, in the sense that we're afraid of what might happen to us. We trust that we are in Christ and he has us in the palm of his hand, and that day is going to be a good day for us. You know, look up, for your salvation is coming, says Christ, right? So this is the thing that it's subverting, is this idea that there's a final judgment that's arrived, a kind of like reckoning, as it were, but it's not Christ who has arrived. It's this evil thing that you can't look at. You can't even look at it. And of course, scripture has different ways of talking about the end, but one of the ways it talks about it is, you know, how every eye will see. That's, you know, from Revelation, when Christ comes on the clouds, you know, every eye will see. There's no way of missing that. You can't miss it. So in this case, it's like, don't even look at it. If you look at it, something bad will happen to you.
Is it portrayed that way in the actual film, that this is some kind of a in this case, how should we put it, maybe a photographic negative of Judgment Day?
It does have these moments in it where that's what it's pointing out. Like, one thing is there's a character who, quote-unquote, learned everything he knows off of the internet, who worked at a grocery store, and he says that he thinks that this is a reckoning, a final judgment. It's, quote-unquote, the end game. So that's injected into it. There are some other Christian elements that are presented. At the very beginning, the character of Mallory, played by Sandra Bullock, is shown painting, and she's painting a Last Supper image, but it's with modern people, and it's all very black and dark and kind of a grotesque kind of flipping around of what you might envision in your mind if you thought of Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper kind of a thing. So there is this kind of sense that you have a photo negative kind of thing going on. Now, people might not immediately think about that, because this is couched in the genre of like horror / sci-fi kind of thing. So that's not the first place your mind might go, but you get sort of enough of this stuff along the way that you kind of start to see that it's painting this picture of something like the end is something to fear. Essentially, it's not something to look forward to or to think positively of. And this is the way this kind of stuff works, is it takes advantage of or exploits any doubts or uncertainties that a person might have. Like when somebody writes horror in the horror genre, a good example of this would be like the image of the St. Bernard dog with the little iconic barrel. That is a rescue dog. You know, this is the St. Bernard Hospice in the Alps kind of thing. But then Stephen King takes this thing that is not supposed to be a horrific thing, and he writes Cujo. So it's just an inversion of something that should be something that brings relief and comfort and hope, and then turns it into something, you know, to be afraid of. And that kind of generates horror. And what I was seeing when I was watching this was this subversion or inversion of something you could look forward to as a Christian, which would be good, the end and Christ's return, and making it into something that's the idea of it to be frightening.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest reviewing the movie Bird Box. When we come back, get his thoughts on the fact that even secular storytellers are interested in a final reckoning. Stay tuned.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday, January the 31st, we are reviewing the movie Bird Box. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, I'd like your thoughts on the fact that even secular storytellers are interested in, well, we might even say nowadays, somewhat obsessed with stories of a final reckoning, even if it comes at the hands of vague demonic creatures.
Yeah, like the kind of Lovecraftian sort of Yawgoth kind of at the mountain of madness. If I even look at it, I will go crazy kind of thing. Yeah, the secular world is not averse to the idea of thinking about these things. And there's a lot of anxiety that writers and filmmakers take advantage of, and actually that news media takes advantage of to generate money for itself. You know, like all of the environmental things that people are focused on today, whether or not it's happening the way it's presented, there are certainly people who are taking advantage of anxieties associated with it in order to generate money. So you get that in the film industry as well. So they may look at, you know, like years ago, you know, in the 80s and the early 90s, there was a lot of evangelical focus on the idea of the rapture that they espouse, which is not an amillennialist or scriptural view of the end times, but it created a lot of anxiety. And you have like all of the Left Behind books, all of that kind of stuff. You know, it took advantage of people's anxieties and uncertainties in order to make profit, right? So now you see this also happening more and more frequently in Hollywood and in literature and books. And whether it's religious or not religious, or whether it's even by people who have an axe to grind against religion or against Christianity in particular, one way or the other, these things are constantly being churned out. And another element of the film is that there's a character in the film, Mallory, the main character, whose the name Mallory means unfortunate, the unlucky one. So that's just another little weird thing. But this character of Mallory is pregnant, and it would be her first child. She doesn't know what she thinks about motherhood. She has anxieties with that. So that's also laid over on top of the whole film as well, like the idea of having children, pregnancy, the fear of that. And of course, now, like in our current society, even that they're taking and turning into something to be afraid of, motherhood, child rearing. So it's very interesting. And this is why it's a subversion or an inversion of things that were always considered to be like mom and apple pie, right? So figure out a way to make motherhood and apple pie frightening and then make money off of it.
So it has some fairly big stars. You mentioned one also, John Malkovich, and some others. How does it work as a film? Does it work for you?
It's not a super good movie, actually. I mean, it's kind of flat. The director, Susanna Beer, she's like a Northern European lady, and she's probably best known for The Things We Lost in the Fire from 2007. So she's not like, you know, this isn't Steven Spielberg or anything like that. But for whatever reason, this really hit, like resonated with people. And for Netflix, this is like their biggest hit in terms of the number of people and the speed at which people watched it and how quickly it kind of spread around that this is something that, you know, is, well, you should watch it too. In fact, you start to get that fear of missing out thing that they talk about. You know, like everybody seems to be watching this, so maybe I should watch it too. It took like weeks and weeks and weeks for me to end up getting around to it. And when I did, I don't know if it's one of those things where it's built up or not, but I didn't find it to be terribly frightening. And I thought it was, you know, interesting. Like part of it is just this kind of, part of the movie is this going down a river and there's rapids at one point. Of course, they're doing it all blindfolded. So it's a get from point A to point B kind of thing. So it also has similarities to that Cormac McCarthy book, The Road, mm-hmm. you know, sort of thing. That's kind of, there's little hints of that sort of in this as well.
I don't want you to give away the ending because there are probably people who are still have this queued ready to watch it, but does it have a satisfying resolution? Let's just, depending on however you want to define that, Pastor Geese.
I don't know. I would say yes. At one point, I mentioned something to Michelle. I said, well, I wonder why this isn't something that they just do as characters. And then I discovered later that it was something that comes up in the book, but they decided not to put it in the movie because it was too dark. The filmmaker who made the film, she said that she didn't want to have as dark an ending as the book had. So the ending was made to be more optimistic, even though it's in this post-apocalyptic kind of horrific, you know, scenario. So she kind of lands it on a kind of an upbeat ending. And some people like that. Some people want a really dreary finale to it. I mean, did you see The Mist?
Oh, yes. That's yeah. Actually one of my favorite Stephen King novels.
Yeah, this one has kind of things in common with that. Like there's moments in it that kind of resonate with that.
But that was one they, as they usually do with King novels, they gave it a different ending than the author did.
Well, I haven't read that one yet, but I found that the ending of The Mist was less hopeful than the ending of Bird Box.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the way that this affects kind of the general way we're consuming our films. Usually, you go to a movie theater and see these things. This one, you could just stay home and watch it on your own television. Netflix obviously was an early adopter of the notion that people would prefer to get their stuff completely on demand rather than wait for it to come out, or rather than travel and sit with a bunch of maybe a couple hundred other people under the smell of stale popcorn and watch their movies. What are your thoughts there as one who, well, We see to it that you go see movies regularly.
That's true. And I actually see them for the most part. This is an exception, but I see them in the theater with the stale popcorn and everything. And I maybe that makes me a romantic or a purist or something, but I prefer, like, I watch a lot of movies at home, but I like being at the theater and I like getting the energy of the crowd. I like seeing whether or not they're into it or not. There's kind of nothing more fun, like some people will disagree with me. There's nothing more fun than going like on opening night, the night of a film that, you know, like take for instance, like a horror film, like The Conjuring, like the night that I went and saw that opening night, everybody was there for a roller coaster ride. They all were just, they were psyched. They were ready. They wanted to be there. And that made the viewing experience kind of fun. If you go like deep into the run of a film and there's like seven people in the theater, you may as well be watching it at home. But at least you get the big picture and you get the big sound. So this is a big change now. And in fact, the Academy Awards is starting to acknowledge these films, even if they don't have a theatrical run. So for instance, there's a film called Roma from last year. Alfonso Cuarón, and that's the fellow who did Gravity with Sandra Bullock and won all sorts of, you know, Academy Awards for that film. And now his film Roma, which is entirely in Spanish language film, that one was released. I don't know. It may have had like some sort of theatrical release, but it never came here. But that's one that pretty much exclusively is actually just on Netflix. And it also is, you know, receiving even recognition from the Academy.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We are reviewing the movie Bird Box. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fact that this isn't the old direct-to-video, the B movie or the C or D movie. Direct to the consumer via Netflix means something else. Then we're going to answer the question, does God change his mind in the Old Testament? Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Stay tuned.
And we're going to have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Daily Exercise for the Christian Mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are reviewing the movie Bird Box. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. Ted, on the subject we were discussing before the break, this notion of Netflix and the other on-demand services being a new venue, really changing the dynamic of how films are consumed. This isn't the old direct-to-video, which almost immediately signaled you that you had B-grade actors and B-grade film if it was that good. Direct to the consumer via Netflix means something very different.
Yeah, I mean, like that film I just mentioned, Roma, it's an art house film. It's definitely an A-grade film. You know, Bird Box it's teetering on the edge of being a B film. Like it's not actually an A-grade film. It has some A-grade actors in it, but it's not really, it could have, years ago, it could have been a direct-to-DVD. That could have been the case for Bird Box. But you're right. There are things now that are getting some significant money thrown at them, and they're able to draw in the talent and actors and stuff. And that's why Netflix, actually, I think the price of it is going up. And that's because they're doing these projects and they need money in order to run it. In fact, I think I read something about Netflix, you know, joining one of these guilds that, you know, kind of legitimizes them as a film studio.
That's kind of an odd thing, but you had mentioned before the going to the theater and having that corporate experience with complete strangers. But what are your thoughts on kind of moving that experience to the home where you could just be sitting in front of your computer screen or maybe even just the screen of your phone watching this thing in an entirely individualistic way. And people are experiencing that way. And then their corporate experience takes place on social media.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting too. Film director David Lynch, he really dislikes and publicly talked about how he dislikes the idea of people watching his films on their phone. He doesn't like that. I mean, and that came out in connection to the third season of Twin Peaks. He doesn't like the idea of people watching his films on a telephone or his show, that new show, on a telephone. Even he would rather them watch it on a TV than on a phone, which is kind of interesting too. So, you know, as these things, you know, change and progress, you know, people do end up, you can do like social media stuff and you can have some kind of connection with people on social media. It's not the same as being in a place together with them. So, and I guess in some ways, maybe this springboards into just a general conversation about going to an actual church and being part of a congregation and being in the pew with other Christians versus getting all of your stuff through your phone. You know, like, it's amazing what we can do today with our phones and with our computers and laptops and things. And it's a great resource, but don't neglect actually gathering together with your fellow Christians, or just gathering together with your fellow citizens, like just being in public places together. That I think is a big panacea against total isolationism and, you know, kind of outrage culture.
Do you think there are still enough people left like you that have that nostalgic experience in the theater and want to relive it on a regular basis to keep the big screen with the stadium seating open for the next generation?
It's a good question. I think the film companies are doing everything they can do to, like, the theater companies are doing everything they can do to try to entice and keep people coming. So you can even have like total recliner seating, which for some people I wouldn't recommend that because you could just end up having a nap, right? So the total recliner seating, you know, alcohol and food service right to your seat in the theater. There's, you know, theaters that are doing that, have been for probably the better part of a decade, if not longer. But all the way through the history of theater, like, they've had to do things like that. Like, even in the early days when it was still silent films, they were competing with opera and, you know, playhouses and symphonies and things like that. So they had to, you know, put together these big spectacles. West Edmonton Mall in Edmonton, where I used to spend a lot of time when I lived there, they literally had an animatronic fire-breathing dragon in one of the theaters. All of these things were meant to kind of try to keep people coming. The movies themselves, you know, that's not enough. And most theaters actually make all of their money on the concession and not so much on the tickets.
So do you have pastoral concerns about those who will, I was going to say go to view, but who are going to watch Bird Box?
I think that there's a bleakness to it. We talked about like the happy ending part of it. If you're a Christian, don't be afraid of the return of Christ. And if you have fears because you have sins that you need to repent of and that you're worried about being caught in them, then repent of those sins and just turn to Christ. Don't live your life afraid of the last day and when Christ returns. Don't be afraid of that. So if this film ends up exploiting any doubts and uncertainties you might have, just remember you do not have something to fear of the last day if you are in Christ Jesus and he has you. So you may find yourself out of sorts for some reason after watching the film, and you might not know why, you know, because this isn't exactly about that, but in a way it's this kind of inversion, subversion, despoiling of the doctrine of the last day in the same way that, like, oftentimes zombie related films can be inversion or a despoiling of the resurrection of the dead. So, you know, like sometimes things are subversive and people are actually subverting what you believe, teach, and confess as a Christian. Don't let it get under your skin. Trust in Christ.
Pastor Gies, what scripture would you draw on for those who are going to watch this film and they have that sense that things have been kind of flipped on them, that this does in fact have the potential to undermine Christian faith when there is this inversion of the blessed assurance, the hope that we have in Christ's return?
Yeah, there's a great passage from Isaiah, actually, and it's in a section that Luther talks about in terms of being about blasphemy, actually. And that's from Isaiah chapter 5, where we hear these words, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So this is a great passage to kind of keep in mind for that kind of stuff. When you see something that's being completely flipped on its head on purpose, now you might not initially catch that it's being flipped on its head because it'll be presented in an evil way. But if you stop and think about what you're looking at, you can start to piece it together. For example, in the film, blindness by virtue of the blindfold is equated with kind of like a virtue. This is a thing that ends up being, you know, help save them. But in scripture, you know, in 2 Corinthians, we hear, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And characters like Mallory, played by Sandra Bullock, she's like an atheist character. So, you know, these things might start to twig in your mind if you're thinking scripturally as you're watching the film. And there is an actual warning from scripture about when people try to present an evil thing as good or a good thing as evil. And in this case, it's the good thing being presented as evil. And that can kind of get under people's skin.
Finally, this theme that you have been working with here in the course of our conversation that you just reiterated again, there are people who they don't necessarily believe that this is how the world is going to end specifically, but their expectation is of either a very hot or very cold death to the universe, and ultimately the bad things will outweigh the good things in the world, whether it be global warming or whatever it is, and the world will die this kind of apocalyptic death. Contrast that with the, well, what scripture calls this hope that Christians live with of Christ's return.
Well, in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." So the new heavens and the new earth are coming. They're promised to you by Christ Jesus. And however things wind down at the end, they are going to wind down in a way that look the way that scripture says. So there will be terrible things that'll happen. There will be terrible things that'll happen in the natural world. But when you see Christ coming, you know, straighten up, lift your head up, there your salvation is, Christ Jesus as he returns. And any kind of despoiled and deleterious effect of anything from our lives now will be washed away. That is the stuff that passes away, but we don't pass away because we're in Christ. So we are made new in him. So as dire as things look, you know, we continue to be good stewards of the earth that we have. We are, you know, asked and commanded and told to take care of our neighbors in love and to set our eyes on Christ Jesus. And that's what we as Christians are to do. We aren't to be dissuaded or upset or full of doubts because of things that might happen in the future.
Pastor Ted Gies has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January is called The Christian Difference, an Explanation and Comparison of World Religions. One of the points that this book compares between religions, the various world religions, and Christianity are their end times teachings. Not all world religions have an end times teaching, but where they do, the comparison is made. You can find out more about this encyclopedia of world religions called The Christian Difference at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for The Christian Difference, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, does God change his mind in the Old Testament? Sometimes it seems he doesn't, and sometimes it seems he does. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Do you need a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2019? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During January, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Christ Community International. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Visiting Concordia University Chicago is a great way to open up your world. Tour our beautiful 40-acre campus. Hear from current students about why they chose Concordia Chicago. Discover more than 70 degree programs, and learn about financial aid and generous scholarship opportunities. Attend our February 18th visit day for high school and transfer students. Register today at cuchicago.edu/visit.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.